don't make any difference who's barking at you, who's trying to take you down, who's criticizing you. You just trust in God and keep on shining. You just trust in the Lord and keep on going. You just keep on holding to God's hand and don't allow their discouraging and disparaging remarks to cause you to go underneath.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement.
People who were out in the field and you fought side by side with, and now you come back and you all experience the same loss and you all have the same grief, you get blindsided by unanticipated rebellion. Look what it says here in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. That they were ready to pick up stones and kill him. They were ready to see his life come to an end. Where do you turn to in times like this? The songwriter said, who do I lean on when there's no one around? Who do I talk to when there's no one there to listen? What foundation can I go to when all others ground around me is sinking sand? Where else can I go? David had nowhere to go. He had nowhere. He couldn't go to his wives for comfort. He couldn't go to his counselors for comfort. He couldn't go to his compadres for comfort. He had nowhere else to go. You ever been there? You ever been there before? I don't know. Maybe it might just be something as simple as, you know, you being discouraged and waking up in the middle of the night and just having nobody there, you know, to talk to. Nobody to lean on. You know, I know in my lifetime, I've lost a couple jobs. And I can just remember walking away from there, you know, after being mad and wanting to jack somebody up. You know, just to go sit in your car, man, and you feel like, wow, man, everything has just fell in on me. The whole world has just crumbled around me. And you're sitting there and realizing that, man, where do I go? But praise God. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. When he had nowhere else to go, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And doubtless to say, and I'm going to show you something, and when I saw this, it just absolutely blew my mind, that this wasn't the first time that David had to do this. Because David had been in trouble on many occasions. I'm going to turn to the book of Psalms. Let me show you something real quick. That many of the Psalms that David wrote came out of his times of discouragement. Now, if you were to take an Old Testament survey class and you were to study the book of Psalms, you would hear a term used called superscription. And the superscription is that little introductory note that comes before the psalm itself. And many times it gives the occasion as to why the psalm was written. Let's look at this. This is powerful. David wrote Psalm 3 when he fled from Absalom. Look what the superscription says. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. What was Absalom trying to do? He was trying to kill his father. He was trying to take the life of his father. And so what does David do? In the time of, now, let me ask you this. How many people here would be discouraged if your child was trying to kill you, right? That'd be very discouraging. So what does David do? He sits down and he writes a psalm in the midst of his discouragement. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And you remember the time that David was before, I forget the king's name now, but and you know, they were coming and, you know, they were concerned about David and they were going to try to, you know, do him in. And remember David, the Bible says that, again, I know it's before dinner time, supper time, right? He spit all on his beard and all on his face. Remember that? And he was a crazy man. Right? I mean, he just wanted people to think that he's like, he had to spit all over his beard, and he wanted people to think that he was crazy. So I don't know, you know, he might have been the catalyst for that song, "I'm about to lose my mind up in here, up in here." And so probably what he should have did is what he did here. He should have did this first. But after that incident, what did he do? Look at the superscription. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior, here goes, before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. So, you know, he wrote this song, you know, after being persecuted by Abimelech. Look at Psalm 56. In his times of discouragement, David writes these psalms. It says, to the chief musician, upon that big word, a miktam of David when the Philistines took him at Gath. And so when David was captured by his enemies, what did he do? He wrote a song, Psalm 57, to the chief musician, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. And here Saul was trying to kill him. What does David do? He writes a psalm in his time of discouragement. There was a time when Saul sent men to David's house to watch his house to see when he was coming in and out because he was looking for an opportunity to kill him. And so what does David do? He writes Psalm 59. Look at Psalm 59. To the chief musician, a miktam of David, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. They were looking at his house to see when they would have an opportunity to kill him. And then, as he ran and hid in the wilderness, he wrote another psalm. And that was Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, when he was hiding. And so he writes these psalms in the midst of his discouragement. What I'd like to do now is go back and pick something out of these psalms, because what did it say? David had nobody else. There's nobody else around. So what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he encourage himself in the Lord? I believe that he encouraged himself many ways, but writing these psalms. And what was in his spirit? What was in his heart? Well, the first thing that we see when it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord is that he realized that he had to change his heart. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. He realized that he had to change his heart before he changed his circumstances. Oh, that's good, man. Y'all missed that opportunity to shout there. You missed the opportunity to shout there. He had to change his heart before he could change his circumstances. Look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57 in verse 7. Now, when does he write this? Notice when he wrote it. He wrote it when he was running from Saul, a time of discouragement. He said in verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. He said that my heart is fixed. Fixed on what? My heart is fixed on you, O Lord. My heart is fixed on you, Lord, that my wives are gone. The city is burned down. My men are trying to stone me. But my heart is fixed. It's fixed on you. No earthly comfort. No earthly assistance. My heart is fixed on you. If thou, you know, what songwriter said, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? My heart is fixed. Somebody said something to discourage me. My heart is fixed. Somebody did something to me that broke my heart. My heart is fixed. Saints, we got to learn how to fix our heart on God. And as we fix our heart on God, we begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Somebody sent this to me, and I thought that it was interesting. And it was a memo from God, from God to you. The subject is yourself. The reference is life. I am God. Today I will be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it yourself. Kindly put it in the SFGTD box, something for God to do. It will be addressed in my time, not in yours. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not hold on to it. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, don't despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard privilege. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who has been out of work for years. Should you despair over a relationship gone bad, think of the person who has never known what it is like to love and to be loved in return. Should you grieve in the passing of another, think of the woman in dire straits, working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed her children. Should your car break down, leaving you miles away from assistance, think of the paraplegic who would love the opportunity to take a walk. Should you notice a new gray hair in the mirror, think of the cancer patient undergoing chemotherapy who wishes she had hair to examine. Should you find yourself at a loss, pondering life, what life is all about, and asking, what is my purpose? Be thankful there are those who didn't live long enough to get that opportunity. Should you find yourself a victim of other people's bitterness, ignorance, smallness, or insecurities, remember, things could be worse. You could be one of them. David changed his heart before he could change his circumstances. You know what? Some of you are dealing with knucklehead people. Now, don't say amen now, right? When I say this, don't say amen. Don't say amen. You may have a knucklehead husband or knucklehead wife, but don't say amen. We don't want to know who you are. And for years, you've been trying to get them to change. And the fact of the matter is that they're not going to change. They're not. Don't give yourself away. They are not going to change. And you get discouraged every time you try to change them. Every time you try to make an adjustment, every time you try to do something to change something in their life, you get discouraged because they don't change. David said, my heart is fixed. And I realized that I got to change my heart before these circumstances change. And so realize that it's going to be up to you. You're in it. And it's going to be up to you to change your heart. Yeah, I mean, we need to pray for the other person. We need to pray that they, you know, all that. We need to do that. But sometimes it comes down to a matter of you got to change your heart. The second thing we see is that he turned his whole heart towards God. He turned to God with his whole heart. Look at Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness running from his enemy. Look what he says here. In his time of discouragement, when nobody was around, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Lord, I am hungry for thee. Lord, my desire is for thee. Lord, my intention is to see you move in my life, Lord. I'm hungering for you. Lord, in the midst of my discouragement, in the midst of my despair, Lord, I'm hungering for you. Lord, you are my desire. You know, when we watched that communion clip this morning, I started getting hungry. Man, she was fried chicken. Them homemade biscuits. And most times, many places you go today, you know, you get store-bought rolls. And you don't see people rolling out that dough, right? I was looking up there, wow. David said, I'm hungering for the Lord. I'm hungering for God. That just like in a dry and thirsty land, that I'm longing for you, God. In the midst of my despair, I'm crying out for you. You know, it's like, you may remember that commercial years ago about Dr. Pepper and the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He was in the middle of the town, and he was wreaking havoc everywhere. And somebody tried to give him a cold drink of water, and he knocked that away. And somebody tried to give him something else, and he knocked that away. And finally, somebody there was smart enough to give him a Dr. Pepper. And he drank that Dr. Pepper, and everything was all right. He was calm, and the people were sitting around him dancing and laughing, right? He didn't want, the only thing he wanted was a Dr. Pepper. David said that in the midst of this discouraging situation, I don't need this, I don't need that. You know, somebody tries to give me this, I slap it away. Somebody tries to give me that, I slap it away. The only thing I need right now is God. It's God. He's the only thing that I need. You know, sometimes we need to get to the place. Have you ever, somebody did something to you and you just got so angry that you knew that you better not say anything. You knew it was best just to keep your mouth shut, right? And sometimes we need to be wise enough to say, look, you need to leave me alone right now. You know, I just need to go somewhere and I'll be all right. You know, we'll sit down and we'll work this thing out, you know, but I just need to go somewhere and get alone. Because if I stay engaged in this, it's going to be ugly. And so what we need to do is step away from that discouragement. And step into the presence of God and say, Lord, I desire you. What did it say? David encouraged himself in God. What he wrote these psalms. And here in this psalm, he cries out to know God and hungers for God. In Psalm 56, we see that he wrote this psalm when the Philistines took him captive. And in this psalm, he says in verse 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I remember my grandkids, you know, I used to pick them up to drop my daughter off at work every morning, and we would listen to songs. And, you know, they had these songs based on scripture. And one of the songs on there was based on this psalm. And it said, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, at night when the monsters come out, right, from underneath the bed, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When discouragement is all around me, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to hold on to him. It don't make any difference what you say. You know, I'm going to trust in God. Yeah, I was going to the graveside this week for a funeral. And I have a little book in my car that sometimes, you know, I write down a bunch of illustrations. And there was one illustration. I just happened to be reading it. And it was this judge. And he was talking about this dog. And he told how that this dog all night long would just bark at the moon. I mean, the moon was shining bright and it was beaming. And the dog all night long, roo, 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 he just barked at the moon. Just barked at the moon all night long. And the judge stopped and started doing something else. And somebody said, why did you tell that story? What's the point of the story? And the judge said, the moon just kept shining. I love it. The moon just kept shining, right? Don't make any difference who's barking at you, who's trying to take you down, who's criticizing you. You just trust in God and keep on shining. You just trust in the Lord and keep on going. You just keep on holding to God's hand and don't allow their discouraging and disparaging remarks to cause you to go underneath. You be like the moon. Let that dog keep barking all night. Yeah, you go on and bark all night. The moon just kept shining. It just kept shining. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise thee. In God, I will put my trust. And I will not fear what flesh can do to me. What did David do when he got discouraged? He wrote a song. Look at Psalm 34. I got two more. I know the Steelers are coming on and some of y'all looking at me. But now let me say this now. You know, I got a lot invested in. Now, the Lord blessed me last night to go do the Steelers chapel, right? So if anybody needs to be hurrying up trying to get out of here, right? I done devoted these guys and prayed with them. I need to be running home to sit, but hey, Whenever the Holy Spirit say we're done, then we're done. All right. So I just want to let you know. Oh, Pastor, man, he's kind of insensitive. You know, he don't realize. You know, I tell you what. If you feel the need to have to go, you know, just go ahead. We're gonna call you out, but no. So if anybody gets up, somebody might be getting ready to have a heart attack, right? They're walking out. Hey, you going to the Steelers game? All right. I'm almost done, but I'm not going to hurry. All right. What did David do when he got discouraged? He got his praise on. He got his praise on. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. When did he write it? He wrote it when he was going crazy before Abimelech. When he put spit all over his beard. That's when he wrote this song. And he, like I said, he was saying, you know, this is what he should have said, right? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul doth make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What did David do when he got discouraged? How did David encourage himself in the Lord? He got his praise on. In the midst of the discouragement, in the midst of all that was against him, all that was going on, he got his praise on. What about you? Do you get your praise on when you get discouraged? I guarantee you that nothing will lift your spirits like praising God. Even if it only lasts for a little while, I guarantee you, I double dare you that when you get discouraged, start praising God. Put on a praise song, put on some worship music. And like I said, it might come back, but for that moment, you will get lost in praise. And your discouragement will seem like it's miles away. What did David do? He got his praise on. Paul and Silas, at midnight, they were in jail, in chains. And what did they do? They got their praise on. Somebody said Elvis Presley got the song, Jailhouse Rock. From Acts. Because what happened? The Bible says that the jailhouse rocked and all the prisoners were set free. When you get your praise on, powerful things happen. God shakes the house when you get your praise on. And then the final thing, and I could keep going on, but you know, we'll stop right here. Not because of the Steelers, but we'll stop right here. He asked God to help him deal with the object of his discouragement. Whatever was discouraging him, he asked God to help him deal with the object of his discouragement. Look at Psalm 59. Psalm 59. Why did he write this song? He wrote this song when Saul had men standing outside his house watching to see when he was going in and out so they could kill him. What does David do? He writes a song. And in the psalm, he said in verses 1 and 2, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. What did he do? He asked God to help him deal with his problems. He didn't take the situation into his own hands. He went to God and he asked God for wisdom. He asked God to show him how to deal with his problems, how to deal with his discouragement. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I heard somebody say, and I don't totally agree with this statement, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. It's time that we stop telling God about our problems and tell our problems about our God. Now, I still think we need to tell God our problems, but I like that. It's time that we stop telling God about our problems and we start telling our problems about our God, that we have a God who's bigger than discouragement, who's able to lift us out of despair and set our feet on a solid rock that we might be able to stand, climbing out of the hole of discouragement.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time when we will be encouraged once again from the Word of God by Dr. Glaze. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request climbing out of the hole of discouragement. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.